Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's the corner where the troops at. Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We about to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports betting info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon Finals, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code, that's BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get in to the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm here with our guy, former tight end, Jason Dunn. JD, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother? What's going on? How you doing today? Doing all right?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain. You know, I got to meet the man, the myth, the legend, Chad, or meet on the phone a little while ago. Spirits. Do you wanna update the people on Chad's status?
Yeah, of course, man. And as when you met him, you could tell just the type of guy he is.
Awesome.
Very cheerful. You know, always keeping his chin up. But he has improved. Thank God for that. And you know, we've been praying intently, and I have a lot of people talking about just praying for him and the thoughts, you know, coming to us and sending, you know, good vibes and whatnot. So all those things are appreciated just from out there in the kingdom and everywhere else who, you know, might see this and, you know, talk to him. But he's been steadily improving. So like I said, man, I just praise God for that, man. He's got his some of his mojo back, some of his old self, his old joking self, like as you heard on the phone. He's doing a lot of the throwing the jokes on me and, you know, just big unk. So that's a good thing. And I just love my nephew to death. So when I say nephew, I'll say I'm the youngest out of 11. So my nephew, he's the oldest grandson. And he's like a year younger than me because, like I said, I'm the youngest out of 11. So we're kind of more like brothers, you know, as opposed to uncle and nephew. And we've been together from the beginning. So.
Yeah, when you guys said you guys played on the same high school team together, I thought that was awesome. I was like, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, man. We would say we was a pair. Matter of fact, it was like four or five of us. And so, like I told you, it was funny because you see in the papers or you could tell like in the announcer, you know, Dunn making a tackle, Dunn making a touchdown, Dunn making a block. It was always Dunn, 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 Dunn. Mm. And so that's how it was with what we were doing. And so Chad was an absolutely incredible player. I mean, when I'm talking about running back, could cut on a dime, has speed, maneuverability, get around and juke moves. And safety, man, he would absolutely light you up, would absolutely take your head off. So a talented football player. So when Neff hears this, yeah, I'm bragging on you, Neff. So I just let you know, all right? Let everybody know what type of player you was out there. So You said, man, keep Chad right there in your thoughts and your prayers and everything, man. Chiefs Kingdom. We'll keep it going. Keep it going for him.
Yeah, something about the Dunn family. I could have talked to Chad for another hour. I think we talked for like almost an hour on the phone a little bit. I could talk to him for another hour. And for those of you guys who don't know, when JD and I get on, we usually talk for about 30 minutes beforehand we get on, and then for another hour after we get off recording. So it's something about you guys. I could talk to the Dunn family forever. Chad, I didn't watch him play, but Chad said he had a 2,000-yard rushing season and high school. I mean, that's
phenomenal.
High school season's only 10 games long, so 2,000 yards in a high school season's pretty dang good.
Bad boy, I'm tell you, incredible, absolutely incredible. But you know, of course, he had big blocker for him too. So getting all the holes open for him and parting the Red Sea so he can get through there. So yeah, man. But now he did a whole lot of that on himself. He was good. He's really good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, did he play other sports? Like I know you played baseball and basketball. Did he do other sports as well?
Yeah, he ran track, played a little basketball. But that was his main thing, football and track. So, like I said, he had tons of speed, ran 100 to 200. We ran the 1600 meter relay. So it was a lot of things we did, man. In high school, we talk about the Dunn family, man. We were just, great athletes, and he was one of the reasons for like that legacy continuing. Cause that before us is my brothers. And of course, like I said, from 11, it was, I come from an athletic family. So
yeah,
we kept it all going.
Was the 4x1 done? Was all four of you guys done or
no?
That'd been amazing.
It would have been. But now we had I did a lot more field events, but that 14, 600 meter relay, I was always either the third or the last leg. And me and Chad would always fight about who was going to be the last leg. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You talking about a race that will test your wheel?
Oh yeah. Oh,
at 400 meter run. Ooh, man, it is something serious. So you had a lot on your shoulders when you had to be the anchor for it. But yeah, we had, I think maybe two duns on it. When I was there, when I left, I think it was three. So yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's something else. Yeah. No, you guys are a fun bunch, man. I'd love to do a family hangout with the duns at some point. So
you got to make it. Hey, look, we got to make it a point, man. You come down. Come and cut up. You'll have a wonderful time. Believe me, you'll have a wonderful time, man. We good people. So yeah, we love people. So we love talking, telling stories, all those good things.
Yep. Praise out to Chad. He's on the mend and hopefully he continues to progress. So
amen.
So a lot to get into tonight. We're going to start off. And I know a couple weeks ago we had a Justin Ross catch. And a lot of our viewers weren't really thrilled with your response to it because they thought you were gonna have us the same in all reaction.
really? Oh yeah.
Everyone's like, oh well, that's such an easy. JD thinks it's such an easy catch. Oh yeah, I'd love to see other receivers. I've never seen any other receivers do something like that before. But I was like, well, we're also not behind the curtain. We don't see what happens in practice a lot of the time. We think we see everything, but we don't. So with that, another rookie receiver kind of made a viral video, but a video that's gone pretty far so far online. Sky Moore. So Sky Moore had this amazing catch going down in Texas, working out with Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't a part of the crew earlier on the offseason that worked out with Mahomes because he wasn't drafted yet from the team. So he's now doing one-on-one with Patrick, and he caught this amazing ball. What's it? Arms extended. I mean, he's pretty much all out there for the ball. You can see the video. It's kind of a far view, but then I guess there was a person there a photographer taking photos and literally got the whole catch. And it's like, man, like full on extension. So yeah. I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on Sky Moore working out with Patrick, doing one-on-one time as a rook, and then also that catch? What does that tell you about Sky?
I tell you what. To me, anytime that you're able to have your quarterback throw balls to you, you got to take advantage of it. And so them be able to get, put this thing together where he's throwing all the routes that he's going to be seeing, getting the detail from the the top guy. I mean, that can't be underestimated. You know, the impact it can make to going into training camp and also for the season. And so I think it's going to be, you look at the more time you have to kind of work with the guy, you'll start looking at the contribution he's going to be able to make. And the reason we drafted Sky Moore, and I think it's really the point, is because of his work ethic, about his, you know, catching range, his talent. His name always kept coming up about being a top receiver. And so what his skill set is fits entirely well with what we do offensively. And so Patrick's able to, you know, bring that rapport with him. Like you said, he wasn't able to have him, you know, with it early on a couple months ago. But now this is just going to be just a big advantage for the Chiefs, to be honest with you. And so Sky Moore, man, he's going to get all that work. I'm sure a couple other guys will be down there with him. But a young guy like that, a rookie, to build that chemistry and rapport, you just can't underestimate what that means, really, to Patrick and what it will mean for the Chiefs. And so when you start looking at kind of the depth chart, and here's the problem with what we had dealing with before was Sky Moore was hurt. He was nicked up. You know, he had like the was it hamstring pull, like a little tweak or something that he had.
Yeah, something.
So he couldn't. Yeah, so he couldn't really showcase what he could do. And I know he wanted to be out there on the field, but he had to take the mental reps. And I'm sure he's listening to everything, taking it all in, watching the veteran guys do it. And so it's like, look, now my turn. And so if he got Patrick all to himself, well, like I said, he could just kind of be as selfish as you want to, man, take it all in. It's just it, that, man, that's wonderful. That's wonderful for him, believe me. Like I said, because he just didn't have that, like, during the camps, the OTAs and, you know, the mini camps. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, anytime you have that, man, take advantage of it.
How do you grade that catch compared to the Justin Ross catch from a couple weeks ago?
Hey, the same. Well, you know, Justin Ross catch was absolutely, it was better, no doubt about it, right? But Sky Moore, like these guys, this is what you draft guys like that for. That's going to be what they are supposed to do. That's how they're supposed to catch the football. Mm-hmm. And so Sky Moore, who caught, was it 94 balls? I mean, we know he's sure-handed. Mm-hmm. That right there in itself is going to put us, you know, as far as, you know, what you can do with the offense better than you did last year with guys having sure hands. And Sky Moore is one of those guys that, you know, he's going to develop. It's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad he's getting his time and his work now. But one thing, you know, he's going to be able to do, he's going to be able to catch the football. He's going to be able to run great routes. And so him having that range, and everybody talked about the range that he had, catch range. And you see him just extend out like guys that doing things like that. Man, quarterbacks are going to fall in love. Pass falling in love right now with Sky, what he can do and how he's catching the football. That's good.
And I noticed one thing about it. He wasn't wearing gloves in that in that clip. He wasn't wearing gloves. And it's still because before in the clip, you couldn't see he wasn't wearing gloves or not. But then the still shot of it, you see just his hands, and that's that. That's impressive.
It's even better. You know, and we had to wear gloves. I think my first couple of years in the league, you know, of course, to get cold, you want to wear gloves, but sometimes you just want to feel the ball and just squeeze it. That's what you want to be able to do. You know, feel the little bumps on it when it comes in and just catching it. Yeah. And just right there, you're just strengthening that grip, you know, the hands and just, you know, just feeling it like you want to, you know? So
like the fingertips.
Lick the fingertips, man. And just, you know, you just want that. You just want that. So if he's catching the ball like that, the ball was coming in full velocity. I know Pat is slinging that thing.
That was a rocket.
Yeah, he's bringing heat and he's catching it like that with gloves. Oh man, it's gonna be tons easier. That to me, I love seeing things like that. But rating the catch, that's still, you know, shoot, 7, 8, whatever. You know, Justin Ross was, hey, that's 8 or 9 or 10, but hey, that's what we got these guys. 100%. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yep. Do you get Steve Smith vibes from him? Because one of our subscribers had commented saying that they kind of reminds him of Steve Smith a little bit, Sky Moore.
Too early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too early. Okay. I learned a long time. Look, I'm not going to use somebody else's name. Okay. Potential Hall of Famer with a guy who just now, you know, just get out there to practice. But if you want to just comparison, okay, body type, sure. Would he have the tenacity? Maybe. We'll it's something to be seen. So, yeah, hopefully he'll turn out like Steve Smith. That's what I want to see.
That's like a ceiling comparison. That's like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right. I mean, you're looking at his body type and all those things. Oh, he reminds me of Steve. Okay.
Yeah.
I hope it turns out that way. And if we start throwing the ball to him, we start making some plays, you know, hey, Steve Smith was a beast out there, man. Animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't care how big he was. And he was bringing it to you. So,
yeah. I mean, he played with a chip on his shoulder consistently till the end.
But Sky got, man, he got a lot of talent. He's got a ton of talent. That's why we took him, you know? So, hey, man, shoot. I'm looking for this guy to contribute a lot this year. I think he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be like a surprising, a pleasant surprise more so, right? Because we're looking at, you know, MVS and, of course, Juju and, you know, Harbin. Sky could come in and just start lighting the field up.
Yeah.
And if Patrick start falling in love with this guy, saying, hey, man, this guy's got sure hands. He runs great routes. You know, he's got a great, you know, catch radius to him. I'm going to be looking for this guy.
Yeah,
it's good.
I saw and you could see how natural the pass catcher is. I know it's the box drill, but there was a clip during Mentor minicamp where they did the box drill and they were, you know, coming out of the brace, catching the ball,
Yeah.
And he just looked like a natural pass catcher. I mean, obviously these guys are, you know, professionals in pass catching, right? But it just looks so clean and like, and nice. Him and Josh Gordon stood out the most in that drill, just how easy they made it look and smooth they made it look. That's what I took away from it. I don't know if you saw that clip.
I did. It was crisp. You know, you see things like that, just crispy, like, okay, this is like, doesn't really have a whole lot of wasted movement and action.
Yep.
He just like, just stuck it, came back. It was easy for him. And so a guy like that, I'm just looking at his highlights. You could see a lot of that in the games that he was running.
Yeah.
So, man, that'd get a guy open, that'd make guys miss. But yeah, man, that small area that he could put his foot down and come out to break, it's perfect. That's good.
It's polished. It doesn't look like a rookie. That's a good way of it. It doesn't look like a rookie. Like in that box, he didn't look like a rook.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's comfortable. He's comfortable running certain things. And you do something like this where sometimes what you do have is a lot of wasted movement and somebody's acting like, hey, man, you got to do a little bit more of this. And coaches are like coaching you up.
Yeah.
Sure. They see a guy like this, like, oh, shoot, he's got it. He's already have it, you know? And all you keep doing is just keep praising him and like, hey, man, that's a good job. Good route. And I think I heard the dude was like, oh, man, that's a good route. Good catch.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep.
So somebody's liking it. I like it. I think everybody that seen it was liking it. So
you're a big fantasy guy. How high would you draft him in a league this year? Obviously, you're not going to draft him in the early rounds and stuff, but like, are you going to take a flyer on him? Like,
I don't know.
We just have too many mouths to feed. It's tough.
It's tough, man. It's tough. And that's always the thing when you're dealing with this, because every week it'd be somebody new, right? 1 week, MVS might go out for like eight catches for whatever, 100-something yards, and then Juju might do it. And then it could be Sky, then be, you know, Hardman and Travis. And I mean, I think that's the beauty of what we are going to be watching this year with the Chiefs offense, man. I just think each and every week, whoever's out there could literally blow it up, seriously. So hopefully, man, we're talking this and bringing it to fruition. Marcus, we're talking about it right now, man. So week in, week out, we're going to see numbers just climbing. So,
We said last week, there's a potential of 5 to 6 guys that have 700 yards plus on this, on as far as our pass catchers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
All right. So speaking of our pass catchers, we're going to go to our next segment here. So an ESPN article by our guy, Adam Teicher, he spoke with Mahomes and Andy Reid about the kind of trust level that this kind of new trust level that Andy and Mahomes have kind of come to this offseason. And the biggest thing came when Andy kind of allowed
Mahomes to kind of lead these offseason workouts for the pass catchers down in Texas, as we mentioned earlier on in the offseason. And Mahomes said on a quote, "I thought it was cool because when you're in the building, you see each other, but you're still with different coaches. You have certain meetings together. You have certain meetings you don't have together. And getting down there and being able to be with those guys at all times, talk through how I see routes, and then them going through virtual meetings and listening to how coaches explain routes. It helped to get a better understanding of each other. That was the biggest thing, him trusting us to get our workouts in, get our bodies right, run the routes, get a head start." When you hear these things, this is what you talked about. This is why you said, like, that when this whole thing was happening, you were like, this is getting these guys closer. And this, like, it has everything to do with get these guys and have that chemistry. Now, when you see when you hear Patrick's on this whole thing and how, you know, how Andy's trusting him to do this, what was your kind of takeaway from hearing Pat and Andy kind of come to this new trust level in year five?
I mean, it just seems like kind of the natural order of things, to be honest with you. If this is a guy that you paid a boatload of money to, you know, $500 million, then you shouldn't have any concerns about putting this guy in the position of a leader. I mean, it's who he is. And so I think Andy understands that, you know, this is Patrick Mahomes. We trust him emphatically. And for him to come down and to convey what we want offensively, is nothing that we should really concern ourselves with. He's going to be able to do it. Matter of fact, he'll probably be able to do it in a way with his players that's better than the coaches. And so them being on the same page, because they, you know, the players are the ones going to be playing, right? As coaches, we could draw whatever up. We could draw it up, you know, make it look pretty and make it look like this. But it's like, hey, you know what? Get to know this guy, the angles about certain things, and, you know, the speed of how he runs and how he's catching the routes. I think you put that in his hands because they're going to be the guys that's being engaged out there on the football field. So Andy understands this. I mean, shoot, he's played a game. And he understands, like, look, there's some things we can do as coaches, but the rapport that y'all need to build as players, that's the significant part. And so to me, that's a natural order of things, to be honest with you. I think Patrick knows it and would tell him, like, hey, look, you know, this sounds good, coach, but what if we do it this way? And Scott, he runs it this way, and MVS runs it this way, and Juju kind of runs this route. They're better at it this way than this skill set. He'll have a better feel of those things. And so he's a coach in the meetings. He is. And he's just an extension of the head coach. And so, like I said, man, they trust Patrick without a doubt. And so I don't think it's absconding the responsibility. It's just saying, hey, this guy I trust without a doubt is an extension about my mind and what we want to do and be successful on the football field.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a former pass catcher in the league, when Mahomes is talking about, in the quote, he said, how I see routes, because, like, it's one thing to hear from your coach. He said it. I guess the thing was hearing the coaches talk to their receivers about to how they describe the routes. But then also him saying, I get to tell them how I see routes. How important is that, especially for some of these young guys and even older guys too, like Josh Gordon, who we talked about, he needs to get that rapport with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, he may have had the playbook down last year, but he didn't have the rapport down with him so much, right? How important is that for him to tell these guys how he sees routes and outside of what the coaches or how the coaches are explaining them? Because I think that's more important, right, with how the quarterback's seeing the routes.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's his perspective. And so when the ball's come out of his hands, he's talking about, like, look, as the defender, it could be leveraging you on either side. This is where I want you to stop in the window. This is what I want you to do on this route. And so he's giving them his perspective about what he's seeing out there on the football field. And so when you give them that wealth of knowledge to these young guys, they know what he's expecting because the ball's coming out of his hand. And he's not throwing the football. The enemy's not throwing the football. You know, Nagy, he ain't throwing the football. Patrick is going to be one throwing the ball. So this is the guy I need to speak to. Now, the other guys, like I said, the coaches, they can draw up any route they want to. And, hey, we run it up here. It's 10 yards or 15 yards. This is what we expect out of you. Patrick's like, yeah, but this, when I see you come out of your break, I want you to kind of throttle down in this area right here, right? Because they kind of end up running over into this zone or this is how this guy plays. But at least when I'm seeing you run and opening up your hips, I know you're running full speed. And so I'll put the ball out in front of you. So expect it out there, or, you know, let it be low. And so Patrick, who has an array of passes, which is crazy just to even think of Ben saying something like that, right? He wants to understand, like, okay, expect the ball from over here. You may not see me looking at you throwing the football, but if I'm looking at this and I'm giving a shoulder, imagine the ball is going to be on a rope right here, or I might loft it. All those things are important, especially, like I said, from the quarterback standpoint, how he's thinking that he's viewing it. And so I would always go to the quarterback, a trainer, like, hey, man, what do you think about this on this, you know, corner route or this out route on this leverage? You know, should I sit down in the window? You know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if you kind of settle right there, like right at the guard or the tackle, or extend it even further, like that's where you want to be. You want to hear that and have that conversation. Because if you're not having that conversation and you just run things out there, well, it's just robots. And it never works that way in football. It just doesn't. I remember I heard this a while back. They said the hardest defense to defend is guys that you're not expecting to be there. And there's guys that might get it wrong, who might just blow the play, but they're in the right place, right? Because you're not expecting them to be there. Like you could draw things up to be right where you want them to be. It looks good on paper, right? It does. But a guy who's intuitive into his knowledge, or maybe like he's lost in a play, he might just be somewhere he ain't supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's where you see like some of the interceptions happens. Like, man, coach, I wouldn't expect him to be there. Like, why was he even doing that? It was a good, I'll tell you what, it was a great conversation. You probably seen it too, but Ed Reed was talking about Peyton Manning and how he intercepted the ball, yeah. Right? He was like, you know, I did like weeks of studying about Peyton and understanding. And Peyton was like, I know what Ed was thinking. I know how he thinks and what he was doing. And so Ed was like, I knew he was going to be studying me, but as soon as I opened my hips, I knew he was reading that. And immediately he'd make another read. Well, I took off and opened up and came back the other way. And so you can see it's like this chess game that's going on. Mm-hmm. And so that perspective of like saying like, hey, look, this is where I'm going to be. This is what I'm expecting. But also, too, you need to realize that I have another trick in my bag that other guys might not be thinking, or the coaches might not be thinking the same way I'm on the same page with you. So that's good, man. It's glorious. It's good.
Yeah, you would think it's like most casual fans will think, you know, Mahomes is, you know, gone to 4 straight AFC Championship games, and it's like, well, he's already reached that trust from Andy. But it's like, it's funny because, you know, it's he's going to year 5 as a starter, and like, you know, they're still finding it. Andy's still slowly giving him the keys to be. They have that overall trust and to let him kind of be the coach down there for a little bit of the offseason, you know. So it's like, it's funny where it's still a work in progress. You know, Patrick even knows he's not reached the pinnacle yet. And I think Andy's still like, you know, he's still a young quarterback in his eyes, but you know, he's slowly giving him that, like kind of letting him do his thing with the pass catchers. And I think that's pretty cool that we still have a quarterback who's at the top of this game, number one in the league. Bar none, I think the top quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
But he's still, you know, he's still kind of learning and getting his bearings. And I think it's pretty cool to see that the grooming of Patrick.
Well, I mean, this is Patrick's offense. I mean, that's what it is, to be honest with you. Everything's geared toward him, and, you know, that's how he goes. The rest of the offense is going to go, period. That's just it. Offense is going straight through him, nobody else. And so when you have a guy that you're, like I said, you trust without a doubt, you're putting him out there and say, hey, look, man, you take it over. This is your offense. You tell me what your expectations are. You know, we'll put the game plan together and we'll talk about and discuss these things. But what you expect out of the guys, you got to convey that to them. You got to let them know that and communicate it with them. And I know Patrick's going to do it, man. He's going to do it.
Yeah, and that's one thing, too. You got the rapport with the receivers, you know, going doing this camp in Texas. And it's like, it makes it easy for guys, maybe young guys, maybe kind of like intimidated by Patrick. I'm sure there's guys who are NFL who are intimidated by other players, right? But like, you're intimidated by his prowess, but you also have this kind of open communication now. It's like, you know, we did that whole like month together in Texas. You know, we're kind of like we're friends now, and you can tell me stuff. I can tell you stuff, and like we're kind of be this communication where that's kind of there now for guys who may not, you know, may have been kind of nervous to go up to Patrick and ask him about certain things, but that's there now.
It is. And it's like, you know, you know your role. And so, but also too, it's like, well, wait a minute, hold on. I'm an NFL player as well. If I could get where I'm comfortable with this guy, yeah, absolutely. I can kind of relax. Now your shoulders ain't as tense and you're worried about making a, you know, a drop and a play and, you know, what is he going to say about me? You know, I don't know. But now you start doing those things and sit back and, I don't know, eat some food, you know, maybe have a beer or something with a guy and you know, hey, get close and just talk and become buddies and friends. And this is family. This is family. And you got a common goal. When you have common goals and working together to obtain those goals, hey, this is the best way of going about doing it.
Yeah. Hey, and a lot of Chief fans will say that, the guy who just retired, Garrett Dieter, the receiver who was on our team for the last 4 years, he was only on the team. He kind of prolonged his stay on the team because he was really close to Patrick as a buddy. And hey, and who knows, maybe Patrick did lobby for him to stay on the team and practice squad and all that stuff, you know, try to keep his buddy around as long as possible. But then this year, when we get a bolster wide receiver room, he ends up retiring from football. So
yeah, true. Right. Hey, that's good coverage right there. Right. Shoot, you got any friends with Patrick? I got his bag. I'll make sure. Hey, Patrick's like, oh, no, yeah, I need, yeah, we're doing this together. So,
oh man, that guy was lucky for the last 4 years to be just Patrick's dad, whatever he was doing for Patrick to keep him around.
Hey, man, hats off to him. You know what I mean? Hey, he was on an NFL team, so he has skill set too, right? So,
100%. Okay, so, next topic. This is an interesting one. I've been waiting to see when our Chiefs were going to get involved with these celebrity boxing matches, and we're finally to having a segment on this. So, former Chiefs running back Le'Veon Bell. This week he was in the news. Him and Adrian Peterson are going to be squaring off in a boxing match, and they're scheduled to meet on July 30th. Exhibition fight. These two were amongst the best running backs in the league at one point. But I gotta ask you, so I've seen a lot of different comments on this, but who do you have winning this boxing match between Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell?
Oh wow, okay. So boxing match, Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson. That is crazy. And I want to know why they would want to do something like that, you know. But I mean, if it sells tickets, you know, why not? Why not? But if I had to take a guy in a fight, I got to go with AP, man. I'm going with AP. AP to me is just, he got those eyes, man. He just seems like he's just a different animal. You know, he just does. He just seems like he's got like a little bit of that edge to him. You know, runs hard. Man came off the ACL and had a stellar career right after that, coming off the ACL. But AP looks like, man, he's got a little fierceness to him. And then Le'Veon, man, looks, you know, he's a little bit more swag, moves around. And I'm just looking at their football styles.
Right,
if they fight anywhere like their football styles, I'm taking AP. AP's going to run over you, run around you, run through you. That's what he's going to do. Le'Veon, he'll dance around and may not want to get hit. I don't think Le'Veon likes any type of contact at all. So, it'll be a fun thing to watch, man. I hope they don't hurt each other.
So when I was looking at, who I think was going to win it. So Nashville, I was going to go with Le'Veon, right? Le'Veon had, they're both the same height, 6'1", 6'1". Le'Veon's got about, 9 to 10 pounds over him. So he's like 225, 226. And AP's like 217 or 216. So he's got a little bit of weight on him, but obviously I think they're going to have to cut. But they're both heavyweights. Le'Veon, I feel like, you know, he could stick and move a little better than AP as far as like, you know, kind of side to side. I guess, again, I'm going based on their style of play, you know, the side to side movement.
Yeah, yeah.
But I could see AP wanting to win this more. like, because I feel like AP wants to win. If he's going to do this, he was going to do it to win. And I feel like Le'Veon, I'm not saying Le'Veon doesn't care if he wins or not, but I feel like AP's going to want to win this match. So I give the edge of winning to AP, but I wouldn't be surprised if Le'Veon wins. I'm very curious to see how Vegas sets the odds for this match.
That'd be crazy. But to be honest with you, if I seen AP in a boxing ring and had no idea he played football, I'd believe he was a boxer. Right. I would. Seriously. So that's the only thing. Le'Veon looks like, you know, he'll run around, like you said, float around, trying to move, get out of the way. And that's where that's the one that puts you to sleep.
Yeah.
Doing that, as soon as you back up, boom, oh, you know. So, you know, I like I said, I don't want to see neither one of them get hurt. But I think, man, AP, because I think he was also known about how strong he was. They talked about his strength, right? So he's an athletic guy. He's not a slow guy. Like I said, he could do all those moves. He could do all those things too, yep, as Le'Veon. But he's just going to, like I said, he's going to bring a little bit more fierceness and tenacity. And I think he's got a little bit more thunder maybe behind that punch. But who knows, man? You know, chins are – if you got a glass a jaw, it don't even matter how strong you are, right?
Actually, I want to see the age difference. I'm pretty sure there's a good – Bell's got maybe 5 or 6 years on him. Okay, so AP's 37 right now.
Okay.
Le'Veon is, I want to say, 30. That's 7 years. AP's 7 years older than him. I don't know if that means anything. And two guys who've never, you know, been in a boxing match before, they're both rookies when it comes to this.
Yeah, I just remember, who was that? The Nate, what's name it?
Nate Robinson getting knocked out. Nate Robinson,
out. Yeah, so – hey, man, if you ain't really done that before, you could do 90-night. 90-night. You know.
Frank Gore got dominated by Darren Williams.
Who?
Frank Gore got dominated by Darren Williams.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know, man. I guess it's the new thing. People coming out and fighting and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. You know what? No part of it.
I'm trying to think who would be a good, like, if you were to buy a guy in a position around the same time that you played. Oh, man. I'm trying to think. I mean obviously you and Tony would be just a funny matchup just because it's, you know, you're two friends here. Shannon Sharp would be a good one.
Yeah, Sharp's he's small, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'd be like, listen, you know what? I'd fight if it was something was online, or, you know, as far as my life or other than that, man, I ain't trying to hit nobody for real, you know, unless it was absolutely necessary. Right, yeah, now, it pissed me off. Right. Touch my family or something, that then it's a whole, then, like I said, everybody need to back up then.
Yeah. So. I get it.
That'd be funny. I don't know. That's I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a comparison, a guy who is similar stature, who around the same like age group and same tight end group.
They had, oh my gosh. I think when I was looking at the stats for the combine, they had like similar body types. I can't remember the names they had like for similar body types like during that time.
Uh-huh.
I was like, really? Like, oh, no. I think I got a better body than that guy for sure.
That's funny. I think it's interesting because we talk about the celebrity boxing matches. You remember back in the day when they had celebrity, like the celebrity death matches and stuff, where they had like what's his name? That famous bald referee who would do all those matches. They had the oldest like they had Screech fighting, what's his name? Coleman from Different Strokes. What's his name?
Gary Coleman?
Yeah, I think they had Gary Coleman fighting Screech back from Slayed by the Bell.
Oh, and, wow.
Like, back then, that was a kind of a joke when like those like it would be a has-been like actors or athletes fighting each other. But now it's like these guys are like big name guys are fighting for boxing matches. It's crazy.
Right, right. I think back then they had like even the big old clown gloves to fight with. You know what I mean? It was like, it all looks silly. Like it was supposed to be silly because it is. But
yeah,
you know.
I'm happy for the sport boxing. I love boxing.
Me too.
Boxing's been kind of that sport that's been kind of dying, and it's been kind of coming back again. And hey, if big celebrities are fighting and kind of bringing like younger people to watch it, I'm all for it. Getting boxing kind of in people's eyes again, because a lot of these young people don't really watch boxing, and now they're watching because you have these YouTube stars fighting each other, NBA and NFL stars fighting each other. So it's getting younger people into the sport again. So I guess that's good.
Yeah.
But the last thing before we end the show tonight. So today, June 29th, is the 39th year anniversary of running back Joe Delaney. The death of Joe Delaney, the tragic death, but you know, it's probably one of the most heroic stories I've ever heard. And if you don't know the story, and I think it's 1982, I believe, or not 83, 39 years.
83. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joe Delaney was running, doing an off season workout. And he saw these three kids in a pond, like in the middle of the pond, drowning, kind of like, you know, screaming for help. He wasn't a good swimmer himself. I believe he couldn't swim properly. He ends up going in the water to save these kids. He ends up saving one of them. One of them made it out, but ended up dying later. But Joe and one of the other kids never made it up from under the water. It's a really, really tragic story. But you know, the guy went in there, didn't think anything about it. Selfless guy, just going there, getting a kid, being able to save one kid. I mean, and the other two perished, but. It's a sad story, but it's also one of those stories that just goes to show you, it's like, there are people out there who, you know, just go and act because that's, they act and they try to save someone like the way Joe Delaney did. And it's just like, that's just what they did. You know, he obviously wasn't thinking, he couldn't swim or anything. He just did, you know, he just went out there and did it. And it speaks to the whole, you know, not all heroes wear capes, and Joe Delaney is definitely one of those guys. JD, obviously, I mean, you got plenty to say on, you know, you're an athlete who gives back to the community, in your charitable foundation that you have. But like, when you hear a story like that, I mean, you obviously know the story for a long time, but I mean, what does that story tell you about Joe Delaney? I mean, obviously we never got to meet him, but.
Yeah, man, look, I just hearing the act in itself of knowing, that he wasn't a strong swimmer. And didn't mind putting himself in harm's way to go save some children or another human being. Just the selflessness of him just going over doing the act. I mean, something, we're just blessed with some marvelous people sometimes. We really are. And Joe was one of them. And the tragedy of him losing his life. But yeah, I mean, my goodness, it's We need more of that, but that's what we need more of that in this world today. Getting out of the selfish attitude of things and just making it about me and, you know, money and all these different things. And so where we're not even doing for our neighbors like we should be doing for our neighbors. And it's unfortunate that, you know, where we're at today with this craziness that's going on in this world, that you see a bright spot like Joe making a sacrifice, his life for others. And so I think we should all take that example and use it and tuck it and say, look, what can I do for other people to help them out? Now, it may not be to the point of giving up your life, but at least how about you open up your house or your home, or, you know, give to people of the needy, whatever it may be, right? Even these small sacrifices can be made to help one another, helping another person out. And so I just think it's an exhibition of just extreme graciousness and humanity. Like I said, that the personality and that character to do something like that in that time, man, I mean, he should be commended always for something like that. And anybody who goes in, whether it be a fireman or, you know, policemen or just regular civilians, anybody who put themselves in harm's way doing that. And we can all do it as regular people. Like you said, all heroes don't wear capes. That's the truth of it. You know, sometimes, like I said, it's just caring for your neighbor, just loving your neighbor, you know, having compassion and empathy for them. It's all those things that we can do ourselves in this world. So I've heard the story about Joe, and it's all, every time I hear it, it's just like, man, like you had to ask yourself, and this is the conviction of it. How would you respond? What would you do in that situation? Right. And so, for somebody who doesn't worry about themselves and just like, I'm going to jump in because I want them to have a better life. I want, this is what I want to do. That those are the things that we need to look in the mirror and say in our conviction, am I doing enough, right? Am I doing enough in this world? Because more of the things that we need to be doing is having a conversation, loving each other, figuring this thing out, even more than what we're doing. You know, because right now, what I'm looking at in this world, man, we're doing a bad job of it. And it's not like everything is bad. Not everything is bad, but more than what we see is a lot of that. And we should be hearing a little bit more of the feel-good stories, the reality of what people really are and how we really feel. And we should be exhibiting these things and showing these things more than we showing all the fights and all the bickering and all the craziness and all, you know, we just need to do a better job, man, as human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to leave it at, brother.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's a good way to end it. And also, and for people who don't know, I mean, Delaney was, he was the AFC Rookie of the Year back in 81, I believe, or 82. And then he was also voted the Pro Bowl his rookie season. So, like, this wasn't a scrub who just, he wasn't like a like an unknown player. I mean, at the time, he was a badass. You know, it would be a comparison of, like, Kareem Hunt at the time when he was on our team, like him doing something like that. I guess that's like a kind of a comparison of that. It would be like a top notch player.
Yeah. Right.
And so this guy having all that, this guy still went and did that. You know, his ego of being a badass on the field didn't affect him going to save. He just that was how he responded. You know, he saw that and he did it. So
right.
Yeah. It just shows we're never too good to do something like that. None of us are, you know.
It's inspiring. I mean, it really is inspiring. I mean, when these are the things that we need. Like I said, we need to be hanging our hats on. Like, man, this is a great example of things that we should do, right? Of helping others out. And so, like I said, it may not be to that degree, but shoot, just the little things of humanly we can possibly do to make somebody else feel better, you know, and show and exhibit great character is important.
A little thing can go a long way. Yeah, like you said, it doesn't have to be, I mean, that's an extreme situation, the Joe Delaney story, but like a little thing can go a long way for a lot of people. So well, JD, it's a good way to end the show. So, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online. We'll see you guys next week. And we're getting closer to training camp, people. So that means that maybe that edge rusher's got, I've been saying every week, but maybe that edge rusher's gonna sign soon. So
right. Matter of fact, I'll do this, Marcus. So on here, I just thought about this right now. So whenever somebody sees this episode, all right, the first person to inbox me who this person is on my shirt, I'm gonna send them one of our Chiefs Concerns things to them. All right.
Ooh, all right. Thank you.
Okay. You know who it is? Can't say it. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out earlier. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So I'll be the first one that sends it to me. Get it to me.
What it says when I say who's the what is the line?
It said who's the master.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Is that an old?
It says when I say. I forgot this up. When I say who's the master, you say, and they probably seen the name, but I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna see who sees this episode and send something to me. I'm just like, all right, we got something for you.
All right.
We need to do little tidbits like that, man. I wonder who's a big fan of this. Matter of fact, tell me who this person is, and then tell me what movie it is too. So.
Man, I bet you one of my brothers is gonna say this. He's gonna spit it out to me in a second.
Oh yeah, be good.
All right, you guys heard JD, so just tweet at him at JASUSTD89 on Twitter.
That's right.
All right, well, we'll see you guys next week. Hi everybody, thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.